Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, this feels like a familiar position. Florida State continued further down the downward spiral of their 2020 season on Saturday evening, losing 38-22 to NC State at Carter-Finley Stadium in Raleigh, North Carolina. Seminoles fall to 2-6, 1-6 in the ACC, and have now lost 3 in a row. You are on the bench with Josh Newberg. I have Brendan Sinone sitting here next to me. I thought it was a non-competitive 22-38 score. Does that even make sense, Brendan?
It does. It was a weird tone to the game. I mean, it's 21-3 at halftime, and then NC State comes out and scores on its opening drive after FSU couldn't do much on its opening drive the second half. And yeah, FSU ends up outscoring NC State 19-17 in the second half, but never really felt like FSU had a chance after the first quarter of the game.
No, and the big news of the game was FSU was without quarterback Jordan Travis. He was out with an injury. Chubba Purdy made his first start. Chubba Purdy went 15 of 23 for 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. We also saw a little Tate Rodemaker, but before we get into that, Chubba Purdy's first start at Florida State, what were your impressions?
I like how he hung in there. I mean, he starts off slow. You can tell, Josh, that the offense was very limited with what they were trying to do with him in terms of the playbook. That's been consistent with what we've heard through the offseason, or preseason, I should say. And then he obviously got hurt. But we were told he was still kind of learning the playbook, and you can kind of see that. And the game's moving pretty fast for him initially. But as the game progresses, and NC State kind of softens up a little bit. But what you see, Josh, is Chubba Purdy able to move in the pocket. He's not a quick, twitchy athlete like Jordan Travis is, but more of a guy who gets ahead of steam and can run a little bit. He had 54 rushing yards. Mm-hmm. Took what the defense gave him, and what I really liked was the ability to keep his eyes downfield while moving in the pocket. Was able to hit Pokey Wilson for a long touchdown. I think it was a 69-yard touchdown. No, was it the 69-yard? Was it a touchdown? Nice. I just want to say 69 a couple times. But it was a nice ability to keep his eyes downfield and create a big play. He obviously delivers to Warren Thompson at the end of the game as well for another touchdown. But just kind of showed you progress throughout the game, which is what you want to see. So, yeah, I like what we saw from Chubba Purdy. I wrote earlier in the week, it's Chubba time. I'm full Chubba. You got to keep going with him the rest of the year to see what you have. Keep building the offense around Chubba.
I agree. We also saw Tate Rodemaker come in and spell him at times. Tate was 3 of 5 for 19 yards and an interception. You know, I don't mind it, Brendan, because of how far down this team is right now. We're not really playing for anything at this point. I don't mind seeing 2 freshman quarterback in there. You know, you're going to struggle with 1 freshman quarterback, right? So obviously playing 2 true freshman quarterbacks isn't a great situation to be in, but here we are.
I disagree. I'm playing the results a little bit here, obviously, because he didn't look very good, but I don't need to see Tate Rodemaker the remainder of the year simply because I don't think he's ready to help you at all. You know, after the Miami game in that second half, he showed you a little something, but that was against, you know, reserves and garbage time. And then obviously Jacksonville State, you saw the physical limitations with the arm strength. And then tonight we saw that clearly, just the inability to really push the ball in any kind of meaningful way downfield or even to the sideline. He just doesn't have it right now. I don't know if he'll ever have it, Josh, but no, I'm okay not seeing Tate Rodemaker again. I think it's unfair for him at this point. And I think Mike Norvell said that the fourth series of the game, that's what people were mad at when Tate Rodemaker goes in. That was designed. I think they had that pre-ready to go. Mike Norvell said that during his press conference this evening, which is ongoing. Chris Knee's there covering it for us. The issue to me was Chubba Purdy was starting to settle in a little bit, and you had this predetermined rotation with Tate Rodemaker, and that just – that that hurts you a little bit. And I think you just go with Chuba and Jordan Travis whenever he's ready the rest of the way and rotate those two.
Yeah, talking a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball before we switch to defense. Just looking at some of these stat numbers, something that stands out to me, third downs, 3 of 14. It just goes to show you how tough it was to move the chains for Florida State against this NC State defense. Also, fourth downs, 5 of 7. What do you make of FSU going for it on fourth down 7 times this game?
Yeah, I'm interested to get your thoughts too. One, Mike Norvell goes for it a ton. I think he was up to 20 fourth down attempts this season by the end of the game. And I would imagine that's pretty high up there nationally. Only converts on about half of them, I think. Let me pull that up though while I'm talking and make sure that that's close to where he's at. But he's going to be aggressive, Josh. And Mike, that's what he did at Memphis. He's going to play statistics. And we've talked about that on previous podcasts. So that's not a huge surprise for me. I think where fans get frustrated is he puts the defense in a position to have to defend a short field, and it's obviously not a very good defense. But he's
defense
playing
can't stop a long field.
No, they can't. Field. That's kind of my thought process too. And you're trying to develop a couple of things here, right? So one, yeah. So they entered the game, by the way, with 19 attempts on fourth down and 14 conversions, which is actually really. Really good. Only 9 conversions, which isn't very good. Not as good there. But so they enter the game with that kind of mentality. They continue to do it. I think he's trying to set that when the team has more talent, that efficiency will go up to where it's closer to 60%, which is probably where you want it, not in the 45% range. But so what he's trying to do is set a mentality for his team. I'm all for that. He's playing to win the game. FSU's offense was limited script-wise with what it could do with Chuba Purdy. It was a pretty condensed playbook, and even the script I don't think was as verbose as usual, Josh. So when he goes for it on that, I think it was the second series of the game where they go for it, and people were mad at it, and they don't get it. Man, the offense doesn't have a whole lot of firepower. The defense is going to wear down quickly. We've seen that. They give up key drives consistently. So you got to try to take the points when you can get them if you have a chance to score. If you're in any sort of position to do something meaningful on offense, you have to do it. So I'm okay with that. You can kind of question some of the play calls going from the Wildcat if it's predictable or whatnot. I don't know. I'm fine with it. He's trying to establish an identity with his team. I'm more than fine with him doing that at this point. I think that's kind of nitpicky in the laundry list of things that are wrong with this team.
Running back, before we switch it, I want to talk about running back. It seems like Jayshon Corbin, he got 14 carries. We saw LaDainian Webb only get 5 for 2 yards. A couple of games ago, it seemed like LaDainian Webb might have taken a step forward in that running back group, but now it looks like they're leaning on Jayshon Corbin again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with Webb and his touches. I mean, he had a nice run. I think it was after the catch late in the game where he bulldozed NC State defender and shows you some of that change of pace stuff. He certainly was his most valuable with Jordan Travis because of what he did as a blocker. Corbin's run hard. I thought he ran hard today. I think he's run hard the last couple of games. He hasn't been as explosive as we had hoped for. The disappearance of Lawrence Toafili is a little bit confusing and disappointing given what he brings explosively, even though he makes some rookie mistakes, whether it's his blocking or following blocks, but still he's explosive. So I'm not sure what the running back rotation is about, Josh. It's worth monitoring, but I didn't have an issue with going to Corbin fairly frequently. He did run pretty hard.
NC State put up some big numbers led by none other than former Noel Bailey Hockman. The former FSU QB revenge tour continues on. Hockman torched the Seminoles. He was 24 of 34 for 265 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Really, really looked confident back there. Was able to move the chains, especially on third down against Florida State. What were they on third down? They were 10 of 15, Brendan.
10 of 15, and early in the game too, like when they had to set the tones, Josh, they were converting at a really high clip on third down. They average 8.6 yards per play on third down. So not going to win games doing that.
So let's get into it. Where did the defense break down?
Whew. All right. Well, real quick, if I had told you before the season that FSU would go 1-2 in the quarterback revenge tour and the one win was going to be against Sam Howell, what would you have told me?
What a weird year this is.
2020, man, 2020. The defense, so here, could I, like, the positives, the trench play. Robert Cooper was beastly at times. I thought he played really hard. Fabian Lovett played hard. Those guys did well setting the tone inside, made the run game really difficult for NC State, and the linebackers did well to clean up and play behind those guys generally, not always. The edge setting from Kando and Robinson was decent. I know J-Rob had the one that looked pretty bad on Bailey Hockman's touchdown right before halftime on the option play. But generally, the defensive line held its own. The linebackers did okay until late in the game against the run. And then the defense starts wearing down, and that's where not having Marvin Wilson and Corey Durden shows as the interior of the defensive line gets weaker and more gassed. So that was a positive. Emmett Rice plays hard. Jarvis Brownlee with the interception was crazy. And I love that play, Josh, because late in the game, it's not just a hustle play, but it was a culmination of him playing pretty hard for a while and kind of just putting himself in position for something good to happen, which is what you're trying to build at Florida State when you're talking about culture and guys you can kind of rely on. Jarvis Brownlee continues to, at the very least, play hard. The issue to me on defense is just it keeps coming up. And we saw Hampson Nazarene come back, which was nice to have him today. That was his first game of the season. But the safety play, the whiffs that those guys have, the
even with Hampson Nazarene returning, I mean, he didn't have his best game by far.
No.
Nor were we expecting it. But
right.
You know, just the timeliness of it, it just didn't bode well for FSU today for Hampson return and not be able to be the stopper that he is on that back end of the defense.
Yeah, and like you said, I think that was expected for him to kind of work his way into it. And, hey, he had his moments where he flashed, and you're like, oh, there's Hamza. I think at one point in the first quarter, he was on pace for, like, 12 tackles and two tackles for loss. And he finishes with four tackles. And so he didn't really progress after that first quarter. Sydney Williams flashed a little bit later in the game, the true freshman. But Travis Jay has a rough game, one on special teams with a muff punt, but just doesn't really show you a whole lot as a tackler and kind of playing erratically. Brendan Gant had the whiff on the final touchdown of the game for NC State that gave them the 35-9 lead. Brendan Gant just goes flying in with his head down. And that's the kind of stuff, Josh, that you see consistently with this defense.
There's a play to be made there, Brendan.
There's consistently plays to be made. Now, some of the coverage lapses and just the wide open nature that NC State has and allowing Bailey Hockman to kind of sit in the pocket. One, he gets a lot of time consistently, but then two, he's able to carve up FSU's defense with Thomas. And it feels like every other year FSU allows like 100 something yards to a white slot wide receiver up at NC State. Remember the guy who did work against Jalen Ramsey back in 2014, I think it was. So it seems like that just happens every few years for FSU. But Thomas goes ahead and gets 11 catches for 135 yards, two touchdowns. Amizie, who everyone was kind of focused on before the game, had the touchdown and only 50 yards, but he did have a score. They just attack the slot over and over again, just finding soft spots in the zone. And I think that's the frustrating part, Josh, is the linebackers don't look a whole lot better in coverage, better against the run, yeah. But the linebackers in coverage don't look great, and the safeties don't make enough impactful plays, and that combination just leaves you really vulnerable down the middle of the defense. That's how you consistently give up 35 plus points a game this season, which FSU's doing.
You ain't lying. They're doing that. Any other general takeaways coaching wise? You know, the message boards were fired up on Knowles 24/7 throughout the game. And even now in the aftermath of the game, people are going crazy. What did you make of the coaching, especially on the defensive side of the ball, the scheme?
Yeah, I'm pulling up the message board now just to kind of see what people are talking about. And there's actually like there's a lot of upvotes. People are prisoners of the moment, because if that game ended poorly with like Warren Thompson not catching a touchdown, I feel like people are all pissed off. But FSU ends on a note that makes you feel good, and we'll focus on positives because the team did not quit, which they had opportunities to. I thought the defense was about to bow down completely. They kind of scrapped a little bit at the end of the game, which was nice. The offense obviously did too. The coaching on defense, which you asked about, Josh, Adam Fuller. Listen, I'm always going to be slower to pull the trigger on saying, oh, we need to get rid of a coach and we need to start I feel like people like had made up their minds in game two of the season on Adam Fuller. A lot of our message board has the defense not progressing in key areas, that the missed tackles, the coverage lapses, just the attitude. Like, I don't need Travis Jay to be barking at Bailey Hockman and going out of his way to talk trash to Bailey Hockman after a touchdown run when you're down 21-3. Like, I don't need my players doing that. That doesn't all fall on Adam Fuller. Some of this is systemic problems that have been happening for a few years now, but the defense isn't making meaningful strides in my mind, and that does ultimately fall on the coordinator. So I have some issues there. I did see some organizational stuff that, you know, this Mike Norvell's teams are known for being pretty buttoned up in terms of substitutions and whatnot. They had to take a timeout, I believe, because they only had 10 players on the field for a kickoff. I saw Bayvion Johnson getting a false start early in the game to put you down the hole. Like, that's a fifth-year senior, keeps making similar mistakes. So there's some organizational things that are problematic that Mike Norvell has to get better with. But yeah, the coaching on defense, I'm having a harder and harder time, Josh, defending Adam Fuller and the performance that the defense is having. I get they don't get put in great positions sometimes with the fourth down math the FSU does on offense, but I don't know. Are you seeing quantifiable, like optically, like, does this defense look markedly better than it did the first game of the season against Georgia Tech?
No, I don't think things are looking better at all on defense. I think the defense looks scared, desperate. They're always chasing. You don't see many thumpers on that side of the ball at all. Nobody mm-hmm. really forcing the issue, and a bunch of guys after plays kind of looking around at each other, trying to figure out what went wrong.
And there's a predictability to it that bothers me. The first drive of the game being something that opponents can move the ball on consistently, like, isn't ideal.
As well.
Right, that's consistent. Like, that happened against Louisville, that happened against Pittsburgh. Like, you get them in a decent position and third and medium or third and long, and you allow back-breaking plays. Like, that doesn't help with setting the tone. And so you kind of feel this impending doom, right? Like, and then even right before halftime, I texted you guys. I'm like, hey, joking, like, does anyone want to bet that this defense, like, what are the odds that you'll give me that they'll give up a touchdown here? And no one wants to take the bet because you just knew, like, they were going to get driven on. And then they open up the third quarter on their first defensive drive for FSU. Mm-hmm. You allow a march downfield, and it feels formulaic and it's exhausting. And those are the issues that are concerning. And if you're a fan who's not happy with the lack of growth on defense, I'm having a harder and harder time defending that at this point, Josh.
Well, I don't know how much time they're going to take to recover because they got Clemson this week, Brendan. You know, it's that trap game before the UVA game.
I don't know how to comprehend Clemson coming to town. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you're trying to feel good with. I don't know what we're going to do for podcasts this week. Like, how much do you want to spend time previewing the Clemson game,
I think,
Josh?
We should make a run to Market Square Liquors.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Load up. I think everyone should.
Load up and then pod.
Literally load up on liquor and then on liquor. We'll load up in two different ways.
Yeah, but Clemson's this weekend. It's going to be another day of reckoning for FSU. We're going to get more into it with Chris Knee this week. We'll sit down on the bench and kind of sort it all out. Any final thoughts you got, Brendan, before we leave?
I think I mentioned most of the guys, so I just want to give credit to who I thought played hard towards the end and with the game out of reach. Chuba Purdy on offense, Jayshon Corbin, LaDainian Run ran hard at the end of the game when he got touches. Wyatt Rector came in, had some nice blocks. The Warren Thompson touchdown catch was nice, but he also has a drop earlier on. So, on defense, Jarvis Brownlee, Emmett Rice, Robert Cooper, Sidney Williams flashed a few times, Amari Gaynor flashed, Fabian Lovett. So there's some guys, and most of those are guys who we expect to return, hopefully.
A lot of that success did also come in garbage time as well.
Yeah, there's a curve that we want to put on this NC State got softer. Like, I think on both offense and defense, they allowed some of that. But, you know, you got to take it where you can get it, man. Beggars can't be choosers right now. And guys showing a pulse when there's not a whole lot to really be playing for other than pride. Like, right. I think there's something to be said for that. I'm not saying you build on that in the sense like, oh, this is a thing to celebrate, but it's something to at least note and say, okay, this is positive.
Okay, all that.
And we'll take that.
all that positivity being said, is this another rock bottom?
No, I don't think it is. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about dusting off the rock bottom column, but because they finished the second,
it was from last week.
People
put it in the refrigerator.
People keep asking me, am I going to rewrite it? Am I going to reuse it? And then the three things I learned, I said, this is rock bottom. But no, I don't think so. I think that the Miami game still stands out as the rock bottom simply because they weren't competitive at all in that game. You allowed two quick scores. The offense never really does anything other than the field goal in the first half. It wasn't competitive from the get-go. At least like Louisville, there was a few plays here that turned the game, and then the floodgates opened because this team just fractures and falls apart. Pittsburgh was a little bit more of a drawn-out deal because you got up to the early lead, and then a few bad plays happen in a short period of time, and you fall apart. The Miami game was just totally non-competitive, and I think showed just how far of a scrimmage you had from in-state rivals. So, no, I'm not going to say this is a rock bottom. I know people want me to say it. I'm not going to say it. There's things you can actually build on and say where there's a direction. Josh, they played probably almost 80% freshmen or sophomores with the marquee snaps today. Like, this is a rebuild. Yeah. This is a gutting. Buckle up, man. There's three more games left, and it's going to look a lot more like this, I think, for at least two out of those three games. Really, next week, it's going to probably be rough. Marcus Square Liquors, here we come.
All right. Well, this was a cheerful episode of On the Bench. Thank you, Brendan.
Was I better than Chris?
No. But for Brendan Sinone, I am Josh Newberg, and we are On the Bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.